Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some stories are too good to tell only once. They're just so true or so beautiful, so meaningful or so funny that they demand to be told more than a single time. Sometimes that's a favorite TV show or movie that you're happy to watch over and over again, but more often I think it's a story about your family or close friends, and when you retell it, and truthfully you never quite tell it exactly the same way, but when you retell it, you feel more connected to the people that you love, you feel anchored in that shared memory of the past, and somehow also more hopeful about the future. A little over 2 years ago, I had that experience with my siblings. It was just after my mom's funeral and burial, and we had gathered together in a tavern in a small town in central Pennsylvania near our family cemetery. My dad had died exactly a year and a day earlier at the height of the pandemic and before vaccines were available, and so there really had been no opportunity to gather together then, to eat together or swap stories and share memories. So this occasion ended up doing double duty, sharing stories about our parents that we had all heard before but loved retelling, and occasionally surprising each other with a story that only one or two of us had heard, but now we all held in common. For instance, we learned that that very meal we were sharing that afternoon was provided by our dad, as a few years earlier, on his 90th birthday, we had presented him with a cash gift to go and do something special. Ever a child of the Depression, he had decided to save it and put it in an envelope that he optimistically labeled at age 90 for skiing. One of our brothers found that envelope and knew that our dad would be delighted at the thought of furnishing this meal we were sharing together. Or I heard for the first time a story of how my mom would make lunch for my oldest sister each day during the school year. They lived just two blocks from the elementary school, and so my sister Susan would run home at lunchtime, often with a friend in tow, and my mom would have sandwiches ready for them. Susan shared how special she felt that my mom took the time to do that, and she was pretty sure that no one else in the whole of the kindergarten got such special treatment. Only years later did she learn, and only at that lunch did I learn, that my mom did the exact same thing for my other sister, her younger sister, 30 minutes later over her lunch break. Somehow, finding the time to make sandwiches and make someone feel incredibly special twice each day. We laughed so much during that afternoon and left that gathering, going our separate ways, feeling refreshed and grateful. That's what good stories do. They knit you together. They reveal things about you and the world that you didn't know or maybe had forgotten. They anchor you in the past while also leading you into the future with greater confidence and courage. And I think that is exactly what John is trying to do in the passage we just heard read. John, St. John, the author of today's gospel reading, starts his story of Jesus with words that would have been familiar to everyone in his original audience. In the beginning, he writes, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With those three words, John not only starts his story in the beginning, but also draws his hearers back to Genesis and the opening story of the whole of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And to make sure we don't miss this reference to the first book of the Bible, John continues to follow the creation story closely. You may remember that the first thing God creates is light, with words both brief and potent. And the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light, such a simple thing, but also so powerful. Light that dispels darkness, makes all life possible, and illumines the whole creation. John knows this, and so again follows suit, writing in the verses we heard, "And what has come into being in him," that is, in Jesus, God's word, "was life, And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, John makes these narrative moves, follows the story of Genesis so closely, at some risk. I mean, think about how the first people who heard or read John might react. Keep in mind that there is no official New Testament at this point. There are just all these stories about Jesus that people are telling and retelling and collecting, which means that when John starts his story of Jesus with the exact same words that Genesis does, he is making a statement. Kind of like if I decided I wanted to be a novelist and worked on that manuscript for a while and then brought you the first few pages and it began, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. You would likely politely suggest to me, I'm guessing, that, you know, maybe I don't give up my day job. You also might be thinking to yourself, who do you think you are? Another Charles Dickens? That's likely what those first people who heard St. John thought. Who do you think you are, John, the author of Genesis? And John would have been eager to say, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. John believes, you see, that he is writing another creation story, except this one will have a different ending. You may remember how in the original creation story, God creates humankind in God's own image and then invites us to take care of each other and the whole of creation. And yet somehow, it's not enough. Somehow we want more. And so, the first creation story goes, Adam and Eve break God's rules, grab hold of that apple, blame each other for what happened, and are banished from the Garden of Eden. The first story of creation offers a picture of humanity that struggles to find contentment, reaches beyond themselves, all too often hurts each other, falls deeply short of the potential that God saw, and lives always in the shadow of death. That first story of creation, that is deeply realistic, but also undeniably tragic. And so John writes another creation story, but this one ends differently. On that first Easter morning, according to John, Mary Magdalene, you may remember, runs to the tomb only to discover it empty. She then sees Jesus but doesn't recognize him, mistaking him for a gardener. A gardener. Of course, John's story ends in a garden. And once again, John's original readers would have recognized this reference to Genesis immediately. Once, long ago, God created in a garden. And now, in the resurrection of Jesus, God creates again, recreating humanity, defeating the enemy death, raising Jesus to new life, sending the disciples out to share the good news, offering them, indeed all of humanity, a new beginning. Filled now by the light not simply of creation, but of recreation, the light of resurrection. According to John, you see, God is not done yet. The God who created once long ago is still at work, creating and sustaining and recreating all things in love, leading us forward in the light of Christ in hope, confidence, and courage. A few weeks before my mom passed, I was able to get out to Pennsylvania for what I thought would likely be my last visit. She was at this point largely nonverbal and deep in the hold of Alzheimer's. Many of you have had similar visits with a parent or grandparent or spouse, so you know what it's like. I talked to her for a while, not expecting an answer. Read some of her favorite passages of scripture and prayed with her. It was a late fall day, mostly cloudy, maybe, truth be told, even a little gloomy. But near the end of that visit, a little before I needed to leave and head back to the airport, the sun broke through the clouds, shone through the window into her room, and illumined her face. And in response to that warmth, she turned, looking first out of the window to the source of the light, and then at me, and said, "It's a beautiful day." light. So simple, yet so powerful. And always a reminder of God's commitment, not just to create, but to recreate and to renew and to raise to life once again. And in the meantime, to be with us, to walk with us through all things. Some stories are too good to tell only once. This is one of them. Because this story, our story, is not yet finished. God is still at work, creating and sustaining and recreating all things, including you, in hope and in love. For in the beginning was the Word, God's Word, Jesus. And what has come into being in him was life, and that life is the light of all people, and that light shines on in the darkness. And the darkness has not and will not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen.